They're back in action tonight. Again, puck drop at 8 o'clock. And joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here is our hockey insider, Bob McKenzie. Is it a lock for you? I mean, it seems to go without saying that Freddie plays tonight and tomorrow, but what about on the Columbus side? Could you see them going with Merzlikins tomorrow night based on the stats and the history of back-to-backs?
I think it would mostly depend on what happens tonight. If Korpisalo plays great tonight, then I think Torts is probably the last guy in the world to be overly concerned about back-to-back. He might be one of the first coaches that would take the science of back-to-back numbers and throw them out the window and say, forget about that. He's doing great. Keep going. Now, if he loses tonight and maybe, you know, looks a little leaky or whatever, I don't think he'd hesitate to go with Merzlikins, who had such a good year. So, I think both options are on the table, but it all really hinges on how the game goes tonight.
Bobby, I think you said in the preview show that this is kind of business as usual, except for two series that would cause some interest if there was an upset. Chicago and Montreal-Pitt, and we're looking like that come to fruition here.
Holy moly. I mean, it really is. And, you know, the 12 versus 5, two teams, Chicago and Montreal, that there's not a chance in the world either one of these teams was making the playoffs, and now here they are, one win away from advancing to the round of 16 and what we would traditionally call the real Stanley Cup playoffs. Some of it's self-inflicted, both Pittsburgh and Edmonton not playing as well as they can. But you got to hand it to the Blackhawks and the Canadiens. They've done a really good job. And Price has been really, really good, but Montreal still has played a hard game and done what they needed to do. Their kids have stepped out, Suzuki and Kotkaniemi, and they're getting a lot from veteran guys like Gallagher and Byron, and the defense is looking really good. You know, the Ben Chiarot free agent signing. I think he was free agent, wasn't a trade, was he? No, free
yeah,
agent.
No, he was a free agent.
Free agent, yeah. He's been very, very good, and Petry and Weber have really been on top of their game. So, you know, they're full value for where they're at right now. Even if early in the series you could say that, you know, Pittsburgh looked like the much better team, that certainly wasn't the case in the last game. And if you blow a 3-1 lead, then you're playing with fire, and the Oilers can identify with that as well.
You know, I wanted to hear where you guys are at. I'll weigh in quickly. Like, Jeff Petrie's game-winning goal can't go in from there.
No
like
way.
It's a great
no
shot,
way.
but it's a bad goal, and it's
I
a crushing goal.
I never understand why the goalie just doesn't stand there, Kirky McLean style.
I know. And listen, I'll be the first to tell you, like, they play the percentages and all that, but I'm telling you right
Jamie,
now.
These
I'm
shooters right are now. Onto it.
Well, you're right, and that's why he shot right at his ear, and it was a perfect shot. Like, it was an amazing shot by Jeff Petrie. But you can't give up that goal.
You can't.
Like that at that time. Like Petrie's a fantastic player. I think he under the radar, gets overshadowed because of Weber. But he's a really, really good player.
He is. But I will say, I think Shea Weber has been spectacular. Like,
yeah,
Weber looks like he is dialed in. He's healthy
he's
for the first
angry.
Time in 2 years.
He's angry.
And he's angry.
Too.
And yeah. He's one of those guys. Like, it's basically him and Chara that are in a company where they don't care who you are. They know they have so much respect, they can pop Sid in the head and not be, you know, apologize for it, or Malkin.
Yeah.
They can just play mean. That's their game, right?
Yeah, he is the man mountain. So, and he's got the beard to go with it now. And he's done an extraordinary job with advancing age and really some really serious injury issues. You know, that broken foot or foot problem that he had, That was a real, almost career threatening, in a manner of speaking. And he's bounced back really well, and he's not letting age or injury minimize what he's able to contribute at all. And you get the feeling now when you get to down, you know, still a long way to go. And as the cliche says, that the new cliche, that third win's the hardest to get.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you got to treat it like a game five. Game four like a game five.
Yeah, exactly. But I was going to say, you know, guys like Price and Weber, as dialed in as they've been, you could almost sense they're going to try and take it to another level here, because they can close the Penguins out tomorrow.
To steal a line from the Joker, if you're going to play the agent of chaos, or if you are going to be an agent of chaos, Bob, when you consider some of the possibilities, the blurriness is starting to fade about those eight teams that could be up for that first pick overall. Which outcome would lead to the most chaos from fans, from media? Which team winning the first overall pick would lead to the craziest reaction?
Well, I already, before the preliminary round began, I said if Edmonton loses, if Pittsburgh loses, and Toronto loses, and then you have the lottery, and each of those teams would have a 12.5% chance, along with the other five teams that are out. We know the Rangers are already in that mix. They're the only ones so far that have been eliminated. The way you would want the lottery to go, as they flip the cards over, is for those three teams, Pittsburgh, Edmonton, and Toronto, to be the last three teams standing in the lottery. So you just know that Alexis Lafreniere is going to be playing either with Sidney Crosby, Connor McDavid, or John Tavares / Austin Matthews.
Buffalo would love that.
That's what you want for the to be an agent of chaos, is those three teams and Bill Daly flipping those cards, and like nobody in the league's happy about it except for those three teams.
Crazy.
That would be outstanding.
Yeah, it would be just such great content.
But you know what? I will say one thing, though, about, you know, and everybody say it. It's, you know, if Pittsburgh loses, if Edmonton were to lose, and people say it's just ridiculous that they have an opportunity for the first overall pick. Well, you know what's just as ridiculous? And I understand why it happened. And one level of ridiculousness explains the other level of ridiculousness. And that is, you know what's ridiculous? Is having played 70, 71 games and being home and cooled out for a playoff spot like the Penguins and the Oilers were, and then finding out that you've got to go in and play a best of five on a neutral site game against two teams that sold at the deadline and had virtually no chance of making the playoffs. That's ridiculous. So in order to say to Pittsburgh and Edmonton, we're going to make you put your 70 games of proficiency on the line against another team's, Montreal's and Chicago's, 70 games of lack of proficiency over the regular season, there's got to be a reward if you end up getting aced out in that preliminary round. And the reward is a 12.5% chance of winning the draft lottery. Now, it would be different, too, though, if the first draft lottery hadn't produced one of those eight teams having the number one overall pick. This is serendipity. This is the agent of chaos at the highest level. We knew when that draft lottery occurred, it could have been that any one of those eight teams, the highest they were picking was fourth or fifth. And it wouldn't be nearly as big a deal. But because we had phase one of the lottery and a nameless, faceless team got the first pick, that's a spicy meatball, as Jamie would say.
Yeah, that would be.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, I'm not prepared to write off Pittsburgh or Edmonton, for that matter. I mean,
not yet.
But, Noodles, you said earlier you're more concerned about Edmonton than you are Pittsburgh.
Well, just the way they're playing, and I will say this. Corey Crawford, if you just went by the numbers, and I always, you know, the numbers are 1/8 of the whole pie. Corey Crawford's save percentage in the two, basically in the three games, is like .860, .870, and like .880. Like, it's not like he's been, like, lighting it on fire. So these games have been kind of just all over the map. So it's not, you know, I think Edmonton does have a chance, realistically, if they play their game. But Chicago, we were talking about this earlier, Bobby. Like, it's almost like Taves and Kane, to me, wasn't a factor last night. I didn't think he played very well. But Taves and Duncan Keith have been unreal. Like, Duncan Keith looks like he's 25 years old right now, the way he's skating.
Yeah, they've turned the clock back, no doubt. And now Edmonton's playing with fire because now you're in elimination. And when you go into an elimination in a series against guys like that you just mentioned, Taves and Keith, and for that matter, Patrick Kane.
Yeah.
Now you are, and maybe Corey Crawford as well.
Exactly.
You're playing with fire, and I don't think the Oilers' goaltending have been anything at all to write home about, and now they're faced with a conundrum as to whether it's Koskinen or Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and then you look at the other Canadian teams where last time I checked, Vancouver was up 2-0 in their game.
Yeah, 2 minutes left. They'll be fine in that game. They're on the power play, too.
There you go. They're going up 2-1 in that series, so they'll be able to breathe a sigh of relief in Vancouver. It won't be extensive because that market is what it is. It's a lot like Toronto.
Yeah.
And then the nightcap tonight, in a weird way, I almost feel like it's almost mercy. Like, can you just put Winnipeg out of their misery here with all these injuries and... I was high on them coming in. I thought they were going to win the series, but I can't say I have much faith now based on the injuries and the way this series played out.
No, they're going to need Hellebuck to pitch a shutout here tonight. And, you know, with the injuries going the way that they've gone, no doubt about that. But, no, it's going to be fascinating to see that game. I'm really looking forward to see what we get with the Leafs tonight. So, you know, the Muzzin thing's a huge loss. Let's not kid anybody here. He's a unicorn on that Leafs team. There's nobody like him.
Yep.
Certainly not on the blue line. And that's a significant loss. Now, the good news is that it's something they've dealt with before. So like the half a dozen games before the pause, you had Riley out, you had Muzzin out, and Travis Dermott and Hall played together. And because Riley was out, it didn't even give them any other choice but to use Dermott and Hall as the shutdown pair. And they played some tough minutes against some good players and good teams, and they fared pretty well. So that's encouraging. You know, I know Leaf fans kind of groan when they know that Marty Morenson's going in on the third pair with Tyson Barrie. But, you know, you have to deal with the cards that you're dealt, and there's obviously no Jake Muzzin, so it's Dermott and Hall, and it'll be Riley and Cece, and then it'll be Morenson and Barrie. I know there's been some talk about dressing seven defensemen. I don't expect that to be the case at all. I think Sheldon Keefe and the Leafs like what Spezza, Engvall, and Clifford delivered last game, and they like the luxury of having four lines that you can roll. And Clifford was the low man on the totem pole of ice, and he was like 736 last game. Spezza was up over 8 minutes, I believe, and Engvall was almost at 10 minutes. And Engvall's a penalty killer, and Spets is a second power play guy. So I don't think they want to lose the flexibility in their lineup with taking a 12th forward out for the sake of a seventh defenseman. Especially the defenseman you'd be putting in is Rasmus Sandin. Well, I mean, Morgan Riley and Tyson Barrie are manning your power play. You don't really need what Sandin brings to the party. Unless you think one of those other guys isn't healthy or whatever, but I think they are. So I think you'll probably see six defensemen tonight.
Yeah, and I think that's the move, and the focus will be on Morenson because of his history here and because he is quite literally replacing Muzzin. But for me, it should be on the other guys who just have to elevate their game. And I look at a guy like Morgan Riley, who I thought was much better in game two. But I think he's still got another level he can get to. And maybe he's still finding his way, maybe getting in shape. He's had a weird year with injuries. And obviously when you consider COVID throwing everyone a bit of a curveball, it would apply to him like everyone else. But I wouldn't be shocked if his minutes tick up another couple minutes tonight.
Yeah.
And I think they should, and I think they have to. You know, he's their number one guy. With or without Muzzin, you still need a ton out of Morgan Riley.
Yeah, and I thought Dermott played really well in game two. Actually, both games, but I thought he was really good. I think he's had a high level of energy. I thought he's been moving the puck smartly. I think he's been competing hard. And he's not Jake Muzzin. There isn't any, as I said, Muzzin's a unicorn on the Leafs. There isn't another one like him. But, you know, it's for me, the replacement for Muzzin is actually Dermott. And then Morenson's the replacement for Dermott. So I think in terms of responsibility and minutes, quantity and quality of minutes, Dermott's the key to weathering the storm. But as you said, you could also really lean a lot heavier on Riley if you need to.
Yeah, well, we'll find out in a few hours. Vancouver wrapped up their game 3-0, so they're up 2-1 in their series. They're on the verge of potentially moving through. At least one Canadian team in the Calgary-Winnipeg series will go through. And Montreal, maybe. I'm not sure how many people saw that coming. So we'll see. There's likely going to be some Canadian content as this tournament continues. Enjoy the weekend. Great stuff as always. Thank you, Bob.
Awesome, boys. Have a good one.
Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. The showroom is open. They're taking the necessary steps to provide a safe environment for every guest Visit Maple Toyota right next to Wonderland or buy online at MapleToyota.com. So Leafs Blue Jackets tonight. We will continue to tee that up with Ray. Ray Ferraro coming up just after 6 o'clock. We'll get Ray's take on the Vancouver game that just wrapped up. Vancouver up 2-1 in that series. And that's a shutout for Markstrom. That was needed.
Yeah, sure. He was better last game, like we were talking about with Ray yesterday. And he's starting to feel in a little bit. And he really has been their MVP all year long, even though they've got star power. Like, they need him to be at the top of his game.
Dialed in.
Yeah.
Yeah, big time.
Big goalie. Yeah, big goalie.